quote Elder Cecil Darity. How do you follow that? I very much enjoyed that, Brother Luke, and the Lord was truly good to you. If I'm not mistaken, you believe that our eternal salvation is secure in the work of Christ plus nothing.
Amen. Right.
Whenever I think about that and I think about how happy I am that my salvation is not dependent on my works, I'm reminded of this story, and I hope she won't mind me telling it. But when Sister Tammy was a very, very new nurse in the hospital, they had trained them and shown them where there was a box that if someone needed last rites, there was the implements to do that, whatever that is, and instructions. And they had the unfortunate occasion to need that one day. And in the, if I remember right, and y'all can ask her after a while, but in the lid of that box, there was a number for somebody to call if they needed help. And the one who was on the table being treated was the one that they were to call. I always think about that when someone suggests to me that their eternal salvation is secure in their work or some preacher's work or something like that.
Amen.
I hope I'm not the one on the table that's needed in the box.
Amen.
Whenever that happens. Very much appreciate that, Brother Luke. It's almost as though you were reading our mail. Sister Tammy and I had a conversation about those very things on the way here. I woke up this morning with four of the most glorious verses, in my opinion, in all of literature on my mind. Certainly, very glorious verses. They will be familiar to you. We'll read them to you. And I'd like to consider a few things contained in these four glorious verses in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Say, if ye then be risen with Christ, yes, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I was up a little earlier than you were, Brother Luke, this morning and had those verses on my mind and had a few other things I had to do, and I had a hard time doing those other things for thinking on those four verses and how glorious they are. I expect you really could probably preach the entire gospel from those four verses. And that's not exclusive to them. There are other places where the inspired word of God lays out the gospel in a few passages. But in this one, it just this morning struck me. If ye then be risen with Christ, because I was coming to see people who are risen with Christ.
Amen.
You wouldn't be here otherwise. There's too much else in this world to distract you. I could be working right now. Any number of things I could be doing. But there was a draw, and much as I love Brother Mark and I love Providence Church, it wasn't y'all. There was a draw. And even as much as I enjoy the fellowship that Brother Luke has mentioned to us, and I find, especially having been in fellowship with folks who don't believe the same way I do now, I'm so thankful for the fellowship, and I do believe that the fellowship is important, and that it does draw people in. But what is it that makes it fellowship? It's the love that's shed abroad in our hearts.
Amen.
That flows from breast to breast.
Amen.
Amen.
Because Because we're coming for a common purpose.
Right.
To worship a common Savior. Not common as in ordinary, but common as in applying to all.
Right.
If ye then be risen with Christ. You see, when the apostle wrote this, this is not, I'll say this, the word if's always conditional. It's always conditional. No way around that. But sometimes the condition's already met. And in this case, the condition's already met.
Amen.
If ye then be risen with Christ. In other words, you could say this way, not do it any harm. I mean, it's don't leave here saying I wanted to change it, please. I'm not. But just to make it make sense, bear with me for a second. Since you are risen with Christ.
Right.
He's saying, seeing that you are already risen with Christ, here are some things that you need to understand. Here's some things that apply to you.
Amen.
If ye then be risen with Christ. How is it that we're risen with Christ? How is it that we're risen with Christ? We've not yet ascended up to glory. How is it that we're risen with Christ? We're risen with him in baptism. You say, well, yeah, we've been water baptized. Yes, and that's a symbol of the baptism I'm talking about.
Right.
But you're risen with Christ. See, you go back to Matthew chapter 20 and read. There were some boys that came to the Lord and asked, could they sit on his right hand and his left? And whatever you may think about that, I tend to think that they were sincere in their request. And when the Lord asked them, were they able to drink of the cup that he was able to drink, that he would drink of, and they answered that they were, I think they sincerely thought they were. And in a sense, they did. But what did he say? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'll be baptized with? Mm. He'd already been water baptized. I'm real curious if baptism is the washing away of sin. I'm real curious what sins. I think Brother Luke's been pretty clear that he didn't have any sin to wash away.
Amen.
That baptism, see, your water baptism, now I don't want to minimize water baptism. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you desire a home in his church, you ought to be water baptized. If you hadn't, I wonder what's keeping you. But your water baptism does not secure your eternal salvation. It simply is a picture, it simply and beautifully is, a picture of the baptism that did secure your home.
Right.
Back over in chapter 2, the apostle tells us what risen means. You go back into chapter 2 and look at verse 9. It says, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Indicating it's God that did it.
Right.
In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. You are risen with him.
Amen.
In baptism.
Yeah.
And you symbolize that you are risen. That you really symbolize your acknowledgement that you are risen with him in baptism in your water baptism.
Right.
And again, I'll encourage you to that if you hadn't done it. Buried with him in baptism. You see, I heard an outstanding sermon recently by Elder Philip Cotton about the doctrine of representation. You see, there's a sense in which when Jesus Christ died, you died. Because he represented you in his death. And there's a sense in which when he went into the grave, you went into the grave. And there's a sense in which when he came out of the grave, which, by the way, declares that he's the Son of God. Did you know that?
Amen.
In Romans chapter 1, he is declared to be the Son of God by what? By the resurrection of the dead.
Amen. Amen.
See, the Pharisees, Sadducees, they couldn't answer that question in Matthew 23. In fact, after he asked them this question, it says they durst not ask. They didn't dare ask him any more questions after that. He wanted to know how it is that David could call him Lord. And the only answer, the textbook answer, I used to like that when I was in school, and the teacher would assign, and this is pretty early on, you know, teacher would assign questions you had to answer. And if you go back in the book, in the textbook, a lot of times the answer would be underlined or it would be in bold type, you know. And I found out when I got later on in school, they quit doing that, and I had to dig for them after that. Well, I'll tell you, the Bible's got some textbook answers. And the textbook answer to the question that they couldn't answer, that you can answer today, is found in Romans chapter 1. I think it's verse 3 or so. That he is declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. And thanks be unto God, when he came out of that grave, you came out of that grave too.
Amen.
I was very, very many, many years ago, I was preaching to Brother Alfred Coffin sitting on the front pew. And I said from the pulpit that secular history records that Peter was baptized upside down. And Brother Alfred said, if y'all that knew Brother Alfred will hear his voice saying this, he said, "Nay." And I said, "Well, what did I say?" And he said, "You said baptized." I said, "Oh, I meant crucified, sorry." Because that'd be a strange baptism to be baptized upside down. Because you got to come up, you know, that's the completion of the baptism. You got to come out of there. See, when Jesus came out of the grave, you came out of the grave. So that's what he means. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Now he's going to put some things on you. Because to whom much is given, much is required. And brethren, we've been given a lot.
Amen.
Not only have we been given eternal salvation, brethren, but we've been given an understanding of our eternal salvation that not every child of God in this world gets.
Amen.
Now, we were part of our conversation here was about how none of us want to go back. Understanding now that I don't carry the burden of my, or especially your, eternal salvation on my shoulders. There's a freedom and a liberty that goes along with that I'm not interested in giving up. And I hope I am well aware that it is by the Lord's grace, it's, as the Apostle Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that he could remove my light from me, but I pray to God that would never happen. Because that's a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear. If ye then be risen with Christ. Now he's going to tell us to do some things. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So, seeing as how we've been given a lot, and much is required of those to whom much is given, we got a responsibility now to not spend back. Now, if you want to know what he's talking about. All right, I didn't finish my sentence. I'll try to get back to it if I can remember. But if you want to know what he's talking about, go and read the rest of chapter 2. He's going to talk about how it is that people sometimes put too much emphasis on the things of this world.
Right.
I'm tempted to go back and get some examples, but I'm not going to do it. We need to remember that a child of God is a child of God, saved by grace, bound for heaven, regardless of whether they seek these things or not.
Right.
I didn't expect a whole lot of amens on that, but we need to remember that.
Yep.
That our salvation is secure without regard to and in spite of our actions.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And so we need to be real careful when we play the game of this person's a child of God or this person's not.
Amen.
In fact, I'm going to be this bold. I'm going to say that unless the Bible specifically says
Amen.
It, we need to leave it alone.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, Bible, that's right. Thank you, Brother Luke. I appreciate that. Yeah, nevertheless, foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And that I'm thankful for.
Right. Yeah.
Now, the Bible teaches us how children of God should act, and when they're not acting that way, sometimes it's best to avoid them.
Yeah.
But we need to leave the rest of that alone.
Amen.
But what we should do is set our affection on things above.
Amen.
I don't know if y'all ever listened to it. It's out. It used to be out on the website. I don't know that you need to get to it anymore. Probably so, somewhere. Nothing ever disappears from the web. Some things, thankfully. Some things, not so much. The last sermon that Brother John Connolly preached at Middleton Creek, I think it was the last one he preached, at least audibly. Anyway, he made mention of that verse. And the fact that we've got a song in our book that uses the phrase, set your affections above. I was reading a commentary about this a few years ago. And even in that commentary, the commentator, which if I call his name, most of y'all don't know him, he even misquotes his verse to put an S on affection. No S there. It's singular. As children of God, our affection should be singular.
Amen.
It should be on the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of God, period. He says, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That should be our first. He should be the apple of our eye. You know, we're the apple of his eye. He should be the apple of our eye also. That picture that's painted in Song of Solomon is so beautiful because it's the fact that I often can't tell who's talking, I find to be a wonderful thing.
That's right.
I can't tell if it's her adoring him or if it's him adoring her. Both are true. She says, I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. I am my beloved's and he is mine. I don't know how much clearer she could be, or they could be, I guess I'd have to say. Set your affection on things above. You ever known somebody like this? Now this, I don't expect this will ever be said of me, but you ever known somebody that was said of them that they were so heavenly minded they were no earthly good? Yeah, I've known a few people that get close to that. I've never been accused of it myself. Would to God that I could be. I think about it sometimes. I had a circumstance back at the beginning of the year that caused me to buy a personal vehicle. And I've been driving a company truck for a lot of years. And a company truck, and they tell you, the specific words are, don't get bells and whistles. So I got this truck, and I got every bell and whistle that they had. I had never had them, so I wanted everything they had. And boy, I was so happy with that truck. I don't know, for about 2 weeks. And next thing you know, the windshield's cracked. The sink's not working like it's the sink for the phone thing's not working like it's supposed to, and what have you. Then next thing you know, within a week, it's just another truck, just something to get me from A to B. And I'm ashamed of how affectionate I was toward it to begin with. I mean, if I could just put a little more of that energy that I put into oohing and aahing about this vehicle, into just loving the Lord and his people. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For, and here's why. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now let's take that text for a little while. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That might be the shortest of the four verses and maybe have the most in it. For ye are dead. How is it that you're dead? Well, you're clearly not corporally dead. You're here. You're breathing. You're upright, taking nourishment, as they say. So you're not dead in a corporal sense. You're also not dead in trespasses and sins anymore.
Amen.
If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you are no longer dead in trespasses and sins. You know, there's a time in the life of every single heir of grace when they are dead in trespasses and sins. When we, I should say, are dead in trespasses and sins. But in spite of that, we are quickened. And you have to be quickened, he says, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We're going to talk about how Adam, what state Adam fell into. You know, did he fall into spiritual death, or did he? How did he fall? Well, the best thing to do right there is just stick with what the scripture says, that he died in trespasses and sins. Period. We are dead in trespasses and sins until the divine light of Almighty God shines in our hearts and the commandment comes that says live, and guess what? You live.
Amen.
Whether you want to or not.
Amen.
Except you want to. Because he makes his people are willing in the day of his power. So I can tell you, I've gone in and tried to wake people up. I had a little accident the other night and tried to go wake Sister Tammy up. And that was a challenge to get her. Once she woke up and saw the blood, she jumped up pretty quick. But she took a little bit to get her out of the bed. He doesn't have any trouble like that. When he calls, we answer. That's what Job said. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee.
Amen.
So that's all the ways we're not dead. How are we dead? Well, I'm going to tell you what I understand. I understand you're dead to the damning effects of sin.
That's right.
Amen.
And sin, while sin can still have an effect on you, Brother Luke talked about looking in the mirror. I'm not going to talk about Brother Luke. I'll just tell you what I see when I look in the mirror. And I wish it looked as good as Brother Luke. But it doesn't. And it's not getting any better. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And when I look in and I look deep, you know, James says that we're like men that they behold their face in the glass and they go away and they forget what they look like. Now that can be a blessing for some of us. You know, I tell you, I think I'm a pretty good looking fella sometimes until and then I'll wander by a mirror and go, nope, I'm still looking just like I did, you know. not gotten any better. Sin's still having an effect on me. Still pulling me toward a hole in the ground. But its damning effects have been removed. For ye are dead. You're dead to sin.
Amen.
And how shall ye that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We had a fellow come to Millen Creek many years ago. I'd never seen him before, and I don't think he ever came back after this. That's just a lot about my preaching, I guess. But I hadn't thought about that until I started this story. But anyway, he sat in the back, and he got out. He got out before I could visit with him any. And it just so happened we saw him at a restaurant that afternoon. And it turned out he had enjoyed the preaching, at least that's what he said. But he asked, he said, do the doctrines of grace give people a license to sin? That was what he was dealing with. This was a minister, it turned out. That's what he was dealing with. He was trying to preach grace, and people were saying, if we believe like that, we just go do anything we want to do. And the Lord blessed us to come to the book of Romans and say, no, how shall ye that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Amen.
Grace is not a license to sin. In fact, when somebody says, I really would be concerned.
Yes.
If somebody says to me, if I believe the way you believe, if I believe grace the way you believe grace, I just go get my fill of sin. That makes me wonder if they really understand grace.
Amen. Amen.
Or maybe like the woman that wiped the Lord's feet with her hair, maybe they just don't have as much sin to be forgiven as I do. Mm-hmm. For ye are dead. That's one way I'm glad to be dead.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Not only are you dead, but you're alive.
Amen.
You gotta love the way the Lord puts things. You're dead and your life is His.
Amen.
You're dead and alive at the same time. Amen, amen, amen.
Yes, sir.
In fact, the Apostle Paul said that when he died, he became more alive than he ever had been. I'll let you go over to Romans chapter 7 and read how he described that. He says, when the commandment came, what commandment? That was the commandment I mentioned earlier, the commandment to live. When that commandment came, sin revived, and I died.
Right.
I died. In fact, in his eyes, I would imagine he felt to be dead and was more alive. Because all of a sudden, you know, I remember hearing Elder Sammy Oden one time preaching at Newland Creek, made this comment. He said, if you and I could maybe have an acquaintance or a relative or someone that maybe we thought was going down a wayward path, and suddenly we could just all of a sudden know. Now, you can't know this, at least in any way that I know, but if you could suddenly be made aware that they were not born again, I mean, they're children of God, because you don't make children of God. Children of God are children of God. But if they're born again, if you could know the moment that happened, wouldn't you rejoice? I'd rejoice. He said, but you know, that's probably not the best day for that person.
Right.
Because all of a sudden, the hog waller that they were happy in, it doesn't feel the same.
Right. Amen.
And the weight of sin on their shoulders, it doesn't seem the same. All of a sudden, they see themselves for what they are.
Right.
For what we are.
Right.
Sinners.
Right.
And the only balm for that, the only medicine for it, is the gospel.
Amen.
And you can't overdose on it. The only medicine for that is the gospel. And you can never get too much of it. I need it every day.
Amen.
For ye are dead, and your life is hid. Now I'll tell you how I think about that. In the 10th chapter of John, Jesus describes us as being in his hand,
right. And
then us as being in his Father's hand, which is greater than all. Now, I want you to think about it. You got Jesus Christ saying, my Father who is greater than all. Now, if we're in his hand, and we're in the Father's hand, now I can remember my dad was well known to have big hands, big strong hands. He had, I remember my dad, when I was young, he could grab hold to a pole and turn his body perpendicular to the pole like this. And I never could, my hands wouldn't get around the pole. My hands were just too little for that. He had these great big hands. We'd play a game sometimes where he'd have something in his hand and we'd try to pry it out of his hand, you know, and we'd get one finger pried out. And as soon as we'd get that and look up and smile as though we'd done something, he'd pull it back down and we'd have to go get another one, you know. And we couldn't get things out of his hand. But you know, there came a day when it wasn't as tough as it used to be. There came a day when I was nearly as big as he was. See, I don't have to worry about that.
Amen.
With God.
Amen.
In order for the devil,
Amen.
In order for some preacher,
that's right.
In order for you to extricate yourself from the love of God, you not only got to destroy Jesus, get out of Jesus' hand, but you're going to have to crawl out of God's hand too.
That's right.
Good luck. Actually, don't try. Don't bother. Don't bother. Rejoice in the fact that your salvation is secure in the finished work of Christ.
Amen.
You say, Brother Tom, why are you saying that again? Because there are too many people in this world that are God's children,
right.
Whose time that they could spend worshiping Him, honoring Him, is spent trying to finish His work for Him. You cannot. Somebody says, well, it doesn't really matter. We'll believe our way, you believe your way, and okay, fine. I'm okay with that. That's fine by me. But let me tell you something. You can't be as devoted to things above if you're busy trying to finish work that's already finished. How many of you like that, by the way? How many of you like it when somebody comes along behind you after you've done, you got everything buttoned up and it's all clean and it looks good, and somebody comes along behind you and tries to finish what you've done?
Right.
I'll tell you, that kind of gets under my skin. Now, just Tammy will do that sometimes, but that's because we got at our house, we've got clean and we got Sister Tammy clean. And Brother Tom is little, my standards are not quite as exacting, maybe. We'll just leave it at that. I don't care for, I already done that, sweetheart. She's like, yeah, I know. It looks really good, too. To me, it's insulting a little bit, you know. It's insulting to come back behind me and try to finish my work. I'm not interested in insult the Lord. He's finished the work. He did it well. He did it right. And he did it complete. That's why he's sitting on the right hand of the Majesty on high.
Amen.
Because the work's done.
Right.
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now we come down to this last part. And I'll tell you, I know that there's 25 verses in this chapter. I can see it. But it is really hard to get past verse 4. But verse 5 is very important. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life.
Amen.
Yeah. Shall appear. Brother Luke said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be. You know, I've had people ask me from time to time, what are we going to be like in heaven? The question, well, are we going to, if I'm missing a finger or I'm missing a leg or something, am I going to be missing that in heaven? Because, you know, Jesus had the nails in his hands, the spear in his side and all that. You know, are we going to have that? I don't know. I really don't think so. I think you'll be whole. But I know you'll be satisfied.
Right.
I think you'll be whole. And if you're not, it won't matter. I just don't know that. I'm going to tell you what I think, because I'm the one up here. I think that the nail prints in his hand and the spear in his side and the nail prints in his feet were there for a purpose.
Right. Amen.
All right, now, when you get to heaven, he might still have them. I don't know. It's not going to matter. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. I agree with Brother Luke. I think we're going to know each other. Not as husbands and wives and brothers and sisters and cousins and uncles and things like that, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. All of us. And we'll know each other. You know, I used to think, and I used to go down that road of thinking that I want to see my mom again. I want to see my dad again. I want to see grandma. And, you know, I'd go down that road, Brother Luke talked about. I'd like to sit and visit with the Apostle Paul a little while and to ask him, what did you really mean here? You know, we've been kicking this around like a football for years. What did you really mean when you wrote this? But I don't think any of that's relevant. I don't think any of that is. My dad's not heaven's welcoming committee. Much as I love him, my mother's not heaven's welcoming committee. You want to know who heaven's welcoming committee is? It's Jesus himself.
Amen.
That's what Stephen saw. Stephen saw when the Lord blessed him at his dying moment to look up into the throne room. He saw Jesus Christ standing to welcome him. And I get the questions. I'm loaded with them too. And it's okay to ask. I'm not making fun of people that ask questions like that. I'm really not. I sometimes ponder things like that myself. But when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, you're going to also appear with him in glory. I'm sitting sometimes. I have been out deer hunting or something like that, sitting on a brisk morning with an overcast sky, and all of a sudden seen just one little ray of sunshine coming. You ever had that? You see just one little ray of sunshine coming through the clouds, and I just get chill bumps thinking, that could be him. It could be today. It could be right now.
Amen.
And then I have the thought, but you know, no man can see him and live. You know what occurs to me is that when you see him, you'll already be changed.
Amen.
You'll already be changed. I had a child ask me one time, we're talking about, or I think I preached on resurrection and the second coming. Now, you know, you're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Is it going to hurt? I said, well, you know, it might, but it ain't going to hurt long. I don't know if it is. I don't think it is, but if it is, it ain't going to hurt long. Because it's going to be quick. It's going to be a twinkling of an eye. And we're going to be, our bodies will be fashioned like unto his glorious body.
Amen.
Now somebody says, how long, so when I die, how long do I have to wait for God? I agree with you, Brother Luke. He's coming back to get everything he paid for. Sometimes I don't go back. If the item's not worth enough, I don't go back, Father.
Right.
He's coming back because you're worth it. He paid a big price, right, and he's coming to get everything that he paid for. But I just don't know. When he appears, we're going to be like him. How long are we going to have to wait? Say Abraham died, what, 4,000 years ago? David, 3,000 years ago? Christ, 2,000 years ago? My mom, 7 years ago. How long do you wait when you get to heaven? That's a trick question. I'll give you an answer that Brother Lester Stroud gave me. He had heard this preached, and I think I remember who he said preached it, but I don't want to call the wrong name, so I'll give credit to whoever it was. And it's preaching at a funeral. And the family was very distraught. And the preacher made this point. He said, if you go to sleep, you go this afternoon, you go home and take a nap in a dark room with no clock. And you lay down and you go to sleep. When you wake up, you will not have any idea how long you've been asleep. That's the way heaven is. So the moment, maybe you've been asleep just a few seconds. That happens. Maybe you slept all afternoon. That happens. In my house on Sunday afternoons, it happens a lot. It's going to seem, the moment that you wake up, it's going to seem like the moment you went to sleep. Seem like you, Sister Tammy, all right, I know I picked on Sister Tammy, but I'm going to pick on her one more time. Sister Tammy likes to do what we call time travel. So we get in the car, and now in recent years, she's driven more than I have, so I'll have to make that. But in years gone by, we get up, go see my parents in Georgia. We pull in the driveway, and she, well, that was a quick trip. That was 10 stinking hours of traffic. What are you talking about, a quick trip? Because to her, it wasn't any different than when she went to sleep back at Brookhaven, where it was. Oh, no, she didn't sleep that much. But you get the point. He and this preacher suggested that perhaps the moment that we leave this body is the moment. Because, see, there's no time there. You're outside of time. And you say, well, Brother Tom, explain that to us. Well, I can't. I can't. I've tried to think about it until my brain hurts. And so I'm not even going to try to tell you what thoughts I've had on it. But I'll tell you this. When you see him, you'll be like him. When you see him, you'll be with him. And when you see him, there will be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more sadness. No more death. All will be peace and love. Thank you very much for very good attention.